Chapter 6. "The current situation has been deemed too risky," said Emissary Corval. He was seated in the salon of his lander, facing Drake down the length of a long, possibly real oak table. Behind the navigator was a vast armillary sphere that dominated one end of the room, scattering candlelight across the walls as it moved. It was a beautiful antique, a vast spherical cage of hoops, turning slowly around a solid gold likeness of Terra. The outer spheres were embroiled in iron serpents, a meandering forest of jointed snakes that clicked and writhed in time to the revolutions of the heavens. Only Terra was free of their taint, polished and pure, gleaming through the whorls and intersections, crowned by a nimbus of diamonds. Grek and Drake had reached the Omnipotence without incident. When they left Thaddeus, the fighting on the drone plots was finally dying down, and Precipice had returned to its usual state of tense lethargy. Drake had insisted Grek wait outside, and he was now alone with Corval, apart from a few liveried servants who were bustling around the table, clearing away silverware and crystal with silent, well-drilled efficiency. "The High Lords are divided, of course," continued Corval, "over whose jurisdiction the problem falls under. The Grand Provost Marshal and the Fabricator General almost came to blows, apparently. No one can quite agree what the Blackstone is, so no one can decide who is responsible for it. My information is now out of date, naturally. From what I heard when we translated back into real space, the debates rumbled on, but I believe it will be a matter of months at most before Precipice is dismantled. There is too much at stake for this problem to languish in the usual bureaucracy. Chaos warbands are massing all across the Western Ridge, and the one thing everyone can agree on is that we can't let the Blackstone fall into enemy hands. Lord Commander Gilliman has been too busy to knock heads together, but he means to address the next assembly of the Senatorum Imperialis, and I doubt he will be interested in listening to petitions or debating points of law. My instinct is that he will side with the Fabricator General. Gilliman's interest will be purely martial, obviously. Is the Blackstone a hammer to crush the great enemy or not? The quickest way he can answer that question is to turn the site over to a Mechanicus Explorator fleet, and the Martian priesthood will have little time for the rabble that are currently gathering in Precipice. They will require a tabula rasa before they begin their work, and they will happily create one with fire." Corval was still wearing his ornate helmet, and his voice was a distorted growl, but to Drake it was a balm. After weeks of listening to the Precipice's savages, it felt good to hear an educated fellow countryman. He had explained, on arrival, that he had little time to spare, but Corval had refused to talk business on an empty stomach, insisting that Drake join him for supper. Eating for Corval was a peculiar ritual, in which servants shielded his face with a silk handkerchief while passing him tiny morsels of food with a bewildering array of cutlery. The food was exquisite, and cooked in the Terran style, every mouthful reminding Drake of his home, making the meal both a delight and a torment. Corval was a member of several clubs and societies Drake had attended as a youth, and they had spent nearly an hour exchanging anecdotes. It was only now, as the food was cleared away, that Corval had turned the conversation to the Blackstone Fortress. Drake sipped his wine and considered Corval's words. "You're very well informed. Few have such detailed knowledge regarding the dealings of the High Lords. House Corval must be well connected." Corval shrugged. "Ours is one of the oldest Terran families, Captain Drake, but I would be lying to say that we have the ear of the High Lords." A note of humour entered his voice. "But we have connections of other sorts. People with ways of gathering information that is not usually shared with the general populace." Drake nodded and smiled to show he understood. Almost anything could be learned on Terra through the right combination of bribes and threats. "It would sadden me to see Precipice destroyed," he said, thinking back over what Korvald had said. "Really?" Drake shrugged. "It sounds ridiculous, I know. These people are low-born and vulgar. But by the Emperor, they're dogged. They're both the worst and the best of humanity, Emissary. Uncultured and uncouth, yes, but utterly without fear." Korvald nodded. "Your concern for the lower orders does you credit. Either way, I hope to give the High Lords something else to consider before they discuss the Blackstone with the Lord Commander." Korvald nodded slowly. "Indeed, I guessed as much when I saw you in the Helmsman." He laughed. "I hope you understand. I would not usually frequent such a dreadful establishment. I wanted to learn some concrete facts about the Blackstone, and, from what I can gather, the Helmsman is the only place on Precipice where captains gather in large numbers. I've heard so many intriguing rumours en route to the western reaches, but I was hoping to find someone reliable. Someone I could trust to tell me what the Blackstone really is. All I've found so far are petty larcenists with no interest in the Blackstone's true significance." He leant over the table. "But you didn't come here looking for pocket change, did you, Captain? What have you learned? I sense you have loftier ambitions than the rest of these crooks. I would consider it an honour if House Korvald can assist you."
"You are a gentleman of the old school, Emissary Korvald, as I knew you would be."
Korvald sat back in his chair. Candlelight flashed across the trio of islanders at the centre of his star-shaped helmet, giving Drake the disconcerting sensation that he was seeing the navigator's inhuman third eye. Drake knew that all navigators had this specific sanctioned mutation, an eye nestling in their forehead, able to peer into the madness of the warp. But if Drake were truly to see it, the eye would send him irrevocably insane, perhaps even kill him. He coughed and turned his gaze elsewhere.
"I have made several journeys to the Blackstone," said Drake. "It has been a costly business, in more ways than one, but I have come to think that I can do more here than simply treasure hunt. During my last attempt, I uncovered what I believe may be the crux of the whole mystery, a central chamber to which all the others are merely attendants, locked in orbit, as it were. I spoke to some poor damned souls too badly injured to make their way back to Precipice, and the deeper I travelled, the more consistent their stories became. I heard several mentions of a hidden chamber called the Ascurus Vault. One of them even did me a sketch."
He showed Korvald a small piece of paper with a spherical grid scrawled on it. "This was drawn by an informant of mine, a man by the name of Tor Gorlon. He's dead now, but he swore to me he had seen this place with his own eyes. When I consulted my notes from previous expeditions, I found that his description of the vault exactly matches the signals transmitted from the Blackstone's transportation chambers. If we can..." "Forgive me, Captain. I'm lost. Are you saying this Ascurus vault is the brain of the Blackstone?"
"Perfectly put, Emissary Korvald. But let me explain why that's so important. Travel through the Blackstone is dangerous in the extreme, as you will learn if you decide to venture inside. The place is crawling with aliens, aggressive, carnivorous species, many of which I have never encountered before, and the Blackstone's architecture itself is hazardous, reforming and reacting even as one tries to climb from one location to another. But those problems are nothing compared to the difficulty of using its transportation system. The fortress is traversed by use of maglev chambers.
their fascinating creations of alien manufacture, and they're impossible to steer with any consistency. They move from one place to another, but their routes soon become random, and after depositing you far from your intended destination, they become inert. That's why the fortress is so perplexing. And the Blackstone's defences are triggered by movement, in the same way alien bodies trigger an immune system. So simply staying in one place is not an option. The result is that parties of explorers race around the place like lunatics, sometimes stumbling across valuable finds, but more often becoming lost and never returning. But I believe the Oscurus Vault is the solution to this problem. I think it's the central point on which all other maglev chambers hinge. The fulcrum, as it were. If I can reach it, I believe I will have come closer than anyone before to understanding the nature of the fortress. And what then, Captain? Do you mean to contact Commander Ortegal? I believe he is the officer in charge of this subsector. Drake sipped his wine again. No. I intend to return to Terra myself with whatever I have learned in the Oscurus Vault. I mean to present my findings to the High Lords in person. Corval was silent for a moment. Then he nodded. I see. May I ask why? Ortegal is a dullard, but he's a well-meaning dullard. Do you doubt him? Not at all. Drake sipped his wine again. But you would rather the news came from you. From House Drake, yes. Ah, of course. I understand. Yours is a mercantile dynasty. A find such as this will be a great boon. There will be no impropriety. I will inform Commander Ortegal and send reports to Terra before I leave Precipice. But I will explain my findings in person. Fascinating, said Corval, rising from his chair and crossing the room with such soft steps that he seemed to glide. Drake noticed again how impossibly slender he was. Navigators were often ravaged by the arduous nature of their calling, tormented by years of guiding ships through the lunacy of the warp. Where others could avert their gaze, navigators stared, unblinking, finding rhythms in the frenzy, finding a path in the blindness. As a result, they had evolved into something altered, a new class of human. But few outside of their own dynastic families could claim to understand the true nature of the navigator breed. Corval paused at a cabinet and fiddled with what Drake presumed was another astronomical instrument. It was a metal cylinder, punched with tiny holes in a pattern he could not decipher. Corval flicked a switch on its side, and the cylinder started to turn, slowly glinting in the firelight like the armillary spear at the end of the table. Rather than illustrating the movements of the stars, however, the cylinder flooded the room with music, a faint, crackling recording of a choir, their voices raised in tribute to the unknowable beauty of the galaxy, the melodies spiralling like the orbits of the spheres. The navigator swayed his hand in time to the hymn, lost in thought for a moment. Then he returned to his chair. It sounds like you have a clear plan, Captain. How may I be of help? Funds? A crew? You are extremely kind, emissary, but no, my need is more complicated than that. I have recruited a pilot who can reach the docking point, a hazardous location the local drunks have labelled the Dragon's Teeth. I also have a guide in the form of a ministorum preacher by the name of Thaddeus. He is... Drake hesitated, unsure how devout or not the navigator might be. He is pursuing an agenda of his own, but he is able to lead me to the Oscurus Vault. I also have what remains of my household guard. My problem is of a more psychological nature. Now you have intrigued me, said Corval, looking up from the phonograph. The priest, Thaddeus, warned me that the final approaches to the Oscurus Vault are protected by a particular weapon,
a kind of mental projection that confuses anyone trying to reach the vault. I spoke to members of his party, and they are reluctant to explain in detail. But the Black Stone has a way of distorting perception, so that the past becomes jumbled with the present. The end result is fatal. The priest's party turned on each other. Sounds to me like some kind of telepathic psychosis.
Telepathic psychosis? And that made you think of me? The navigator sounded amused.
Drake smiled.
Your work requires you to shield your mind from the dangers of the Empyrean, does it not? You have to protect yourself.
Indeed, Captain. The dangers we face are as much spiritual as psychological, but we can ignore the semantics.
Essentially, yes, you are right.
Corval tapped his helmet.
This may look ridiculous, but it's a powerful relic. Its original name is unpronounceable, even for me, but my archivists refer to it as a cerebrum cowl. It amplifies my second sight, enabling me to follow the Emperor's light even in the darkest corners of warp space.
He nodded to the serpents on the armillary sphere.
But it also wards me against the beings that call those corners home. Such devices are rare and incredibly valuable, and their workings are arcane in the extreme. But it may be that I could find you something simple enough to be of help. It would be hard, though.
He drummed his fingers on the table and shook his head.
No, that would be no use, even if it were possible. In the time it would take to have a device sent here, you might have missed your opportunity. Precipice's days are numbered, I'm sure of it.
Drake was about to speak, when Corval held up a finger and continued talking.
But there is a way, yes. Now I think of it, it is actually a more appropriate solution. If you will indulge me, Captain, I would be honoured to accompany you myself. My cerebrum cowl, allied to my experience of navigating the Immaterium, should enable me to protect your party from whatever delusions the Blackstone tries to throw at you.
I would not have presumed to ask you to accompany me in person.
Corval waved a dismissive hand.
I came here to see the Blackstone, and now I shall see it in the company of a friend.
I'm afraid time is of the essence, though, said Drake.
My plan is to leave in a matter of hours.
I have no intention of delaying you. Let me know the time and place.
Corval laughed.
Having experienced the helmsman in all its glory, I do not think this boneyard holds much else in the way of interest for me. The sooner we begin, the better.
They finished their drinks, and Drake prepared to leave, bracing himself for the degradation outside. Before he said goodbye, he paused to admire the armillary sphere one last time. As he looked closer, he noticed a detail that had eluded him earlier. Not all of the serpents were arrayed around the outer rings. The sphere representing terror was resplendent, like the jewel-encrusted finial of a royal sceptre, polished to such a sheen that it seemed luminous. But hidden in the filigree, coiled around the spires of the imperial palace, was a serpent, smaller than the others, but moving with purpose, venom glinting on its teeth.